Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Data Power Appliances, SQL, and ODBC Introduction Presentation, Part 1. Today's presenter is Paul McGanny. Paul is part of a team that provides Level 2 customer support for the IBM Data Power Appliances. His primary goal is to quickly resolve customer questions and issues that the customer experiences with the product, and to collaborate with the Level 3 engineering team in delivering the ultimate in customer satisfaction. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Paul.
Thank you, Joseph, and good morning, everyone. First, I'd like to thank my teammates on the collaboration of this presentation, and that's Moses Alote Papo, Carol Miller, Max Chang, Andrew Simmering, Trey Williamson, and Dominic McCauley. This is part one of a three-part presentation on the Data Power SQL ODBC component. This presentation, it's basically an introduction to the component, and it is for the specialist who is new to Data Power. Part two, which will be presented in October 26th, in fact, is going to focus on use cases and scenarios that are being seen in the field. And in the last part, part three, will be on December 7th and is going to cover troubleshooting the component. So without further ado, Joseph, can we move, please, to slide number two? So for our agenda today, we'll just start with a quick introduction. We'll talk about licenses. We'll talk about the SQL data source object itself, SQL data source usage. Then we'll touch on firmware release information for 3.7.1, 3.7.2, 3.7.3, 3.8.0, and 3.8.1 versions. And then lastly, we'll finish with a summary and have a question and answer period. So, Joseph, if you can move to slide number three, please. So just a brief introduction. Data Power touches a wide range of technologies and protocols. And as you can see from this slide, it touches MQ Series, SQL, ODBC, TIBCO, and the FTP and HTTP protocols, just to name a few. Okay, Joseph, slide number four. So again, as I have already mentioned, this is an introductory presentation for the specialists new to Data Power, and subsequent presentations will be on use cases and troubleshooting. Okay, can we move on to slide number five? Licenses. Data Power offers various licenses that are set at manufacture time. For example, TAM, SQL, ODBC, and TIBCO, again, just to name a few. If we move on to slide number six, we are able to tell the licenses we have by getting into the Data Power command line interface and issuing the command show license. Also, we can get the same information from the Data Power web GUI. We would click on status, and then on the system header, we would click device features to see what you are licensed to use. Then by clicking the library information in that same section to see what license features are currently installed. As a side note, if you do indeed have a license for the SQL ODBC component, then you will choose firmware file names, that is, that have the word ODBC in the file name. For example, I have there in the presentation xi3805.mq.odbc.script. All that says is that I would use this firmware file to install on an XI50 where there are MQ and SQL ODBC licenses. And then also, as mentioned, these licenses are applied at manufacture time. Joseph, can we move to slide seven? On this slide, we just have a screenshot of the main control panel of the web GUI. If you look on the left-hand side of the left pane, it might be a little difficult to see, but you see I expanded the objects. And toward the bottom of the object section, you will see SQL data source. And it is there that I would click and start beginning to work with the SQL data source object. Joseph, slide number eight. The SQL data source object is available on the XI50, the XB60 by default, and on the XM70. The object allows for valid config parameters to be defined, and in essence, the SQL data source object, when properly configured, establishes a direct connection to a database instance on a remote server. Slide number 9, please, Joseph. Okay, let's briefly touch upon the usage. The DataPower SQL data source object supports the following database servers as of the 3.8.1 firmware: DB2, all versions up to 9.5, MS SQL Server, all versions up to 2008, Oracle, all versions up to 11G, and Sybase, all versions up to 15. With the SQL data source object, you're able to dynamically perform the standard type of database operations, such as your insert, your select, your update, your delete, and also there is the allowance for stored procedures to be used. From a data power perspective, the way we would interface with this SQL data source object would be either with a SQL action on a rule in a processing policy, or by using the DataPower DPSQL execute extension function. When we get to the part 2 presentation, which is going to be in October, we're going to examine these a little more closely. So, Joseph, I think we can move to slide 10. Okay, just basically, if you recall how we get to the SQL data source object from the left-hand pane of the web GUI, you're going to be ultimately presented with this web page. And if you can, I know it might be hard to see, but if you see the database type, I have there Sybase, and the name we blanked out there just to protect the innocent. But that is a Sybase SQL data source object. And if we can move on to slide 11. On slide 11, you can see that now we're presented with a web page to configure our SQL data source. In this case, you can see the database type is DB2. But if we move to slide number 12, okay, you can see that we have the other database types that we support, the MS SQL Server, the Oracle, and the Sybase. Okay, let's go to slide number 13. On slide number 13, this web page just shows a SQL data source object which has been properly configured with all the appropriate products and is in an upstate. So we have the data source ID, we have the connection username and password, we have the data source host IP address, we have the port listed, and if this all goes well, you hit apply and save the config, the data source object will come in an upstate. So, Joseph, if we can please move to slide number 14. So what we're going to do now is briefly look at the DPSQL execute extension function and the SQL action as part of a rule on the processing policy. Now, what you see here is just a basic XML firewall. And what we're going to do is we're just going to drill into the XML firewall policy called SSXMLFW. I know it might be a little hard to read, but on your right-hand side, you'll see firewall policy. And by clicking the ellipse, we're just going to drill into the policy, and specifically we're going to go on to the rule of the policy. So, Joseph, you can just go to slide number 15. Okay, so here's the rule that is part of the processing policy. And you will notice that in the middle we have a transform action. And upon further inspection, you can see we're using a style sheet called sample.xsl. And this is where we would specify the DPSQL execute function. Joseph, can we please move to slide number 16? Okay, again, this might be a little difficult to see, but if you can look, this is just a style sheet that I brought up in an editor. And if you look at line 26, it might be a little hard, but you're going to see an example of the DPSQL execute extension function. You will see that the function takes two parameters, the first being the source, which we just have it blanked out, which would be the name of the Sybase SQL data source object that we previously created. And then you'll also notice that there is a statement parameter, and you will see that that is the variable called $SQL-command. And this variable was set in the first part of the style sheet where we basically specify to insert a row into a table. So, again, you know, the top part of the style sheet, we have that variable SQL command. We encapsulate the insert statement, and then we use that variable as a value of the statement parameter for the DP SQL execute function, along with giving that a parameter, the source parameter, which was like that Sybase database that we just previously configured on the previous slide. So if we can go to slide number 17. On slide number 17, what we're going to do is briefly look at the SQL action. And you will see that on this rule in the processing policy, all I did was I dragged the advanced action down on the rule. And if I was to double-click on that advanced action, I would get the following. And Joseph, if you can just move to slide number 18. Okay, so by double-clicking on that advanced action, you will notice that I selected the SQL radio button. And by clicking next within this screen, we'll go to the next screen that Data Power will present to us. And Joseph, that would be slide number 19. Okay, on slide number 19, we can select a previously created SQL data source object, or we can create a new one. And you will see that we have two other fields listed here, namely the SQL input method and the SQL text fields. If we can go to slide number 20. On slide number 20, we can have an input method of static, and it is only when that option is selected that we are presented with the field SQL text. Now, SQL text, this is where I would put my SQL, my insert, my select statement, et cetera, in that text field. And if we can go to slide number 21, here we're just specifying a different SQL input method. So previously we saw the input method of static. On this screen, we're just using a different approach. We have this SQL to be executed stored in a variable, and we can use the var builder to build that variable. If we move to slide number 22, the SQL input method points to a style sheet, similar to what we saw in using the DP SQL execute a style sheet, the transform action. So we have three types of input methods, just to summarize. We can use SQL input method being static. We can have the SQL stored in a variable, or we can use a style sheet. And if we move on to slide number 23, you will see that we have the style sheet that we're pointing to. We have the input method as style sheet, and then we're using that sample.xsl style sheet. And if we click done here, what we're going to see on slide number 24, there you will see our SQL action. It's what's highlighted. It's a little database. And that now is all set on the rule in my processing policy. Now, slide numbers 25 through 29 are just some bullet points on SQL functionality specific to that firmware release and where to find the release notes, and there are URLs for that. Joseph, can we just move to slide number 25? Okay, slide number 25. This is the 371 firmware release information. We added connection pooling for DB2 version 9. We added an extension function to execute a query statement against the database using parameter markers. And again, there's that URL for the release notes for the 371 firmware. And the latest firmware for the 371 branch is 371.15. Joseph, if we can please move to slide number 26. Okay, so this is the 372 firmware. And what we did here is we brought connection pooling to the three other databases. So as of the 3.7.2 firmware, we have connection pooling in DB2, MS SQL Server, Oracle, and Sybase. And then again, you'll see the URL for the release notes for the 3.7.2 firmware. And the latest firmware for the 3.7.2 branch is 3.7.2.13. And Joseph, if we can move to slide number 27. Slide number 27, nothing major here. I just gave you the URL for the release notes that you can inspect. And then the latest firmware for the 3.7.3 branch is 3.7.3.12. And Joseph, slide number 28. Okay. For the 3.8.0 firmware release, we added support for Oracle. I think it's the cluster. I might have to get back to you all on that, but on the RAC. But we also added the max output palm size attribute for the extension element to allow stored procedures with large output params. We externalized SQL injection patterns and web application firewall service. And then you can see for the release notes the URL that you would go to view anything that's applicable for that firmware release. And the latest firmware for 3.8.0 is 3.8.06. And Joseph, slide number 29. Okay, slide number 29, this is our latest major release, 3.8.1. Basically, tracing can be enabled in the field for 3.8.1 via the tracefile config param, but understand that debug logging will have an impact on performance. Also, I pointed to the 3.8.1 release notes, and our latest firmware for the 3.8.1 branch is 3.8.1.4. And Joseph, if we can please move on to slide number 30. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a quick little summary, and this presentation was brief, and that is just an introduction to the component. And in October and December, we're going to get into more of the meat of the usage and troubleshooting of the SQL data source object. To summarize, DataPower provides a number of integrations to various technologies, and one of those integration points being SQL ODBC. DataPower operates with different SQL data sources, SQL data resources, which are DB2, MS SQL Server, Sybase, and Oracle, as we have seen. And as stated, this presentation is just a stepping stone for the next presentations that will be in October and December. Joseph, if we can please move to slide number 31. Okay, this chart just includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like this one that we're attending today, and access previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks is another source that offers in-depth technical information. Visit WebSphereUserGroup.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. Also, the SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. And Joseph, if we can move to slide number 32. Okay. Joseph, I guess I can turn the presentation back over to you.
Yes, please. Thank you, Paul, for a wonderful presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
And I have no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.